You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. I'm Gary Shorman, and today we're going to talk about the oil and gas industry, obviously affected by the COVID-19 crisis, but other things as well. And my guest is Ed Cross, who's the president of Cayuga. Cayuga stands for the Kansas Independent Oil and Gas Association. Ed, good to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you, Gary. I appreciate being here today.
For those listening, Cayuga may have seen it on a car tag. They may have heard about it. But what is Cayuga and who do they represent, Ed?
Yes, Cayuga is a very unique organization. We represent the oil and gas producers and allied service and supply companies throughout Kansas. We are the lead state and national advocate for the Kansas oil and gas industry. We have almost 4,000 members from about 1,400 companies throughout the state. And so we reach from, from the east border to the west border, and we represent all of the oil and gas industry in the state, both in Topeka as well as in Washington, D.C.
Well, you're like a lot of groups, associations, and industries in the sense of when we started 2020, we really didn't know what to expect in the sense of or didn't know how to anticipate a pandemic coming on board. Talk to us a little bit about what you did when it first started. You know, we just heard mid-March, all of a sudden things started shutting down. But there were also some other things going on in the world at that same time. So tell us what happened back in March for the oil and gas industry.
Yes, certainly. I know even if you go before March, back in January and February, I don't think anyone was anticipating what was going to happen, not only for the oil and gas industry, but for our economy as a whole. But for the oil and gas industry, since mid-March, we've had our world turned upside down, just like everybody else has because of the virus. It has destroyed global oil demand by about 30%. But for the oil and gas industry, it wasn't just the virus. We also had a concurrent or a crude oil supply shock that happened at the same time. When Saudi Arabia and Russia decided at that point that they were going to try to gain market share by flooding the market with very cheap oil and to drive the oil prices down. So we had a double whammy. We had demand destruction as well as a supply shock, and that had a profound impact on the Kansas oil and gas industry.
When you saw that happen, it sort of continued. It was a slow decline. Everybody was watching those numbers as they sort of clicked downward. But then it was at the middle of April where the market actually turned negative, which was, you look at that and you're going, how can that happen? But that was a real shock as well when the market turned upside down.
It was. I think on April 20th, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange actually had their futures trading at a negative $37. That's for West Texas Intermediate crude, which we've never seen negative crude oil prices before. Fortunately for Kansas, we had one of our refiners, CHS in McPherson, actually never posted a negative price for the Kansas producer. They went down to $1 a barrel that day. The next day, they went down to 25 cents a barrel before they started to come back up again. So that was good for the producers that they never went to a negative balance on that. And, some of that has to, makes you wonder going forward if there is some flaws in that market, because there really should never be a negative price for crude oil.
Well, I'd venture to say that this is a little tongue in cheek here, but you're not going to make any money at a negative $20 or $37 a barrel of oil, correct?
No, I can't figure that out. I don't know anyone who could, but that's I know there were some storage issues at Cushing, and I remember telling some folks, I think even in the media, that I guess if you carried that all the way forward, that would mean that if you went and filled up with gasoline, they would pay you to fill up instead of you paying for it.
Well, a lot, always like the supply and demand part of it, but there were things going on that went beyond supply and demand. When you see those kind of numbers pop up there, obviously the price went down. But I guess the good news, and good news we can talk about today, is there are some positive signs. What do you see as the positive signs for the Kansas oil and gas industry?
Well, you know, the world energy demand has started to go back up. Consumption has gone back up. And all along, you know, we have told people that, you know, getting people back to work and getting the economy is what's going to help the oil and gas industry. But it would help all industries that are suffering during this critical time. And I see today that this morning, the futures price for West Texas Intermediate or WTI, traded above $40 a barrel for the first time in 3 months. So it's up about 11% this week, and that's based on stronger consumption that continues to push the physical markets higher. So we also see future markets where the U.S. has moved into backwardation for the first time in 3 months, which is a signal that supplies are starting to tighten.
Now, when you see that, what is causing the supplies to tighten? You don't see a lot of jets flying over at this point, but what's causing the supply to tighten?
Well, a lot of that has to do with Chinese demand is starting to increase. Now, there's still the potential resurgence here of a virus is hanging over our long-term outlook on oil prices, but you're starting to see a surge in demand, and you're starting to see here in the United States, many of the states starting to open up their economies. That's increasing demand for fossil fuels.
What do you tell producers when you go through this? Did you have meetings? Did you have, I guess, Zoom meetings? You can have in-person meeting, but did you have Zoom meetings? How did you communicate some of the things that we've been talking about to oil and gas producers? Many of them were struggling, trying to know how to keep their business going as well during a time with really zero oil pricing out there. How did you communicate and what did you tell everybody?
Yes, we communicated electronically, like you said. We couldn't meet in person, so we had a lot of Zoom meetings, conference calls, and then our email services to our memberships to provide resources and webinars on information that they could help them out, whether that be some federal payroll protection program loans and other federal programs that would help them out. We had some of our elected officials, both state and federal, Kansas delegation, congressional delegation, as well as state legislators, hold conference calls with our board and executive committees to talk about different things that were being done at the state and federal level. So we kept a membership informed on all of those things, as well as providing resources through a number of webinars that would help them navigate through many of the challenges of getting through this crisis.
The PPP program helped a lot of area businesses across the country, but frankly, in Northwest Kansas as well. Did the PPP program, was that helpful to oil and gas producers?
Absolutely. I know a lot of oil and gas producers took advantage of that program to retain employees, which was critical for the business, so that when prices come back, they would have their good employees available to continue their operations.
What do you hear from Washington during this whole process in Topeka? Were you pleased with the response you got when you had to pick up the phone and talk to Washington, somebody in D.C., somebody in the state of Kansas? Did that work okay, like it should during the crisis?
Yes, our own congressional delegation has been very good and very responsive. As a matter of fact, they contact me, I won't say continuously, but continually for updates on the impacts of not only low crude oil prices, but the demand destruction from the pandemic. On the business. And so I can provide them information about some of the statistics here in Kansas about what's going on and provided them some ideas for things that the federal government could provide. And our congressional delegation was very responsive, but we also communicated with a number of other key policymakers on different committees. And they too were very responsive because they were very interested in the impacts on the small businesses that make up the independent oil and gas industry, which is what Kansas is vastly made of, is small businesses. So they were interested in, even though they were not from Kansas, they were very interested in the issues that were a concern to the small businesses.
You know, that's interesting, and maybe should explain that a little bit more, because people think of Exxon, all the big companies out there, The Kansas oil and gas industry is different than that. It's not, there's some big companies here in Kansas, obviously, but the majority are smaller companies that have people working in a community. They live in the community. They buy vehicles, they buy products, they do everything. But it's a local, so many of your association members are small local businesses.
Yes, absolutely. But the oil and gas producer in Kansas, when I say small businesses and independent, their job is to produce crude oil and natural gas from the earth, and then they sell it to a purchaser. So they don't generate or market end products, the downstream like gasoline or other products out there. So many of them also, they raise their capital. I say they raise their capital through the wellhead. The cash flow that they get from drilling or recompleting or servicing a well, that's the money they use to drill additional wells or do some more well servicing work to try to get additional production. They don't tap equity markets and raise their capital through the equity markets. They actually do it through their cash flow. So, and many of them are generational families that have lived in Kansas for many years. They're your friends and family that live right here and work right here in Kansas.
So when a well shuts down or when the price goes to next to nothing, oil producers, it doesn't make sense to sell, so they shut down a well. But as you start shutting down wells, that has a trickle-down effect to so many people.
Yes, it does. In many of the counties, and especially in western Kansas, property taxes that are paid by oil and gas industry make up a big portion of their property tax collections. Whenever that happens, it affects tax collections. It affects state tax collections as far as severance tax. But it also affects when employees are affected with being furloughed or laid off. It affects many businesses throughout the community, whether it be restaurants or other types of businesses where these employees shop. So it is for the rural areas of Kansas, it's a devastating effect on the economy.
One of the things that heard in D.C. this week, there were some oil industry experts. So every industry has experts, but they were talking about, and they were kind of optimistic in a sense that it could be more than a year until demand turned back to normal. What's your thinking?
Yes, I think it's a slow build on the demand. When oil prices, we went down to 25 cents a barrel, and today when I say WTI is $40 a barrel, we're usually, Kansas gets about $10 less than that as far as the posted price. So we're slowly starting to recover on that. So we look at oil prices, perhaps Kansas price of $30 to $40 this year before we maybe start seeing a recovery next year, depending on if we can come out of this pandemic crisis, as well as the policies that OPEC and Russia have on world supply.
Well, Ed, I wanted to take a break here and come back and talk about leadership, because leading a state association like Cayuga, obviously challenged during these times. I want to talk about your leadership, kind of where you learned that, and talk about association leadership when we come back. Ed Cross is our guest. Ed is the president of Cayuga, the Kansas Independent Oil and Gas Association. Our program, Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, is presented by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families. Back after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Our guest today on Forward Ever is Ed Cross, who's president of Cayuga. And Cayuga, the Kansas Independent Oil and Gas Association. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about leadership. Did anything in Pacific train you for leading Cayuga during a pandemic?
Oh, yeah. Can I go to pandemic? No, that's something new that I have never experienced before. So it was something that it was the first time I had gone through this as well.
Well, it's interesting. Their business schools probably now have that on their agenda for classes this fall on managing through a pandemic. What did you hear when, you know, associations have their own set of guideline business principles, et cetera? Did you communicate with other association leaders, others in other states, to say, what are you doing to help navigate through all of this?
Absolutely. I belong to several different national associations. I'm on the board of Domestic Energy Producers Alliance, as well as the Council for Secure America, a member of the National Strip Oil Association, and Independent Petroleum Association of America. And I also lead a group called the Liaison Committee of Cooperating Oil and Gas Associations. And so I communicate with my colleagues and counterparts and many of those associations around the country to talk about, you know, things that are happening there and what their associations are doing, so that I can learn from them. They learn hopefully some things from me as well, so that we can all navigate through this crisis.
A lot of your oil and gas producers, your members, are leaders in local areas. How do you coach them to communicate and get through a crisis like this?
Well, I listen to all of our members, you know, because many times they have insights that I don't have, and like, we have a lot of really good members in Cuyahoga that are, like I say, that they're Kansans that have been here and have experienced things in the past. And while we all have experienced depressed oil prices before in the markets, a pandemic was something new for everyone. And so I listen to them and then I just provide them information that I know, and they provide information and insights to me as well.
Now, you work with other on the national level. Are you working on some things in D.C. To help improve some of the laws, some of the nuances that go along with oil and gas as we kind of rebuild? Are there some things in the works in the federal level?
Yes, I communicate with not only the congressional members, but also many of the federal regulatory agencies on different things that help the small businesses of the independent oil and gas industry. So we work with the EPA, methane emissions regulations, providing them data on exactly what kind of emissions come from the small marginal wells that we have in Kansas. And then we work with a number of congressional members on tax policies and other issues that environmental and energy policy issues that would affect the small producer. And like I say, I'm in continual contact with not only our own Kansas congressional delegation, but many policymakers throughout the country.
You know, there's some people talk about, you know, some of the good things that come out of having to rethink a business model. Anything good come out of this for oil and gas producers?
Well, I that is something that I've drawn my experience. I've been through a lot of oil price downturns before, but it helps us all get, look internally at all of our operations and look for efficiencies. Both companies do that, associations as well do that, to try to get more lean and mean, if you will, and run our operations more efficiently. And certainly I know Cuyahoga has and is continues to gain from that experience and all that. And I think many companies have as well.
Well, I know those of us in Kansas that depend on the oil and gas industry for so many things. And while it's good to see, you know, a gas price or a fuel price at the pump of $1.30, there was nowhere to go. And I think in the sense of having an industry that is strong, that can build and support the local communities we're in, you and the group at Cuyahoga have done a good job to help all of those during this whole process. So, Ed, thanks for what you and the association have done.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Ed Cross has been our guest on Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. Ed is the president of Cuyahoga. You can look them up on Facebook or on the internet, Kansas Independent Oil and Gas Association. Thanks for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Tim and the team at Worth Wealth Management do a terrific job and help you live with confidence. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Be sure to check back next week for another episode with your host, Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never. Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.